study in biblical hermeneutics. We're in lesson number 6. We're on page 10 in our textbook, Biblical Hermeneutics by Hartel. Let's first go to the Bible and do some reading. Now the Lord said to Abraham, "Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those that bless you, and the one cursing you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abraham went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. He had bad company there, all I can say about that. Now Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abraham took Sarah his wife, and Lot his nephew, and all their possessions which they had accumulated, and the persons which they had acquired, slaves, in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. And thus they came to the land of Canaan. And Abram passed through the land as far as the side of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. Now the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abraham, or Abram that is, and said to your descendants, "I shall give this land." So he built an altar, and there the Lord had appeared to him. And when he proceeded from there to the mountains on the east of Bethel, Bethel means the house of God, on the west side, and Ai on the coast, or on the east, that is. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abraham journeyed continually toward the Negev. And now there was a famine in the land, so Abraham went down to Egypt to pilgrim down there for a while, for the famine was severe in the land. Now God didn't tell him to go down to Egypt, did he? Here we have the father of faith, and yet he is a sinner. He is the one that God said that he believed in him, and he counted that for faith. He believed. Abraham believed God. That was accounted to him for righteousness and faith. Abraham was not a righteous man. Abraham was a sinner like you and me. But Abraham believed in God. In an imperfect way, in an imperfect life, Abraham followed God imperfectly. And it came about when he came near to Egypt that he said to Sarah his wife, Sarai. Sarai, by the way, means contentious, argumentative. "See now, I know that you are a beautiful woman. And it will come about when the Egyptians see you that they will say, 'This is his wife,' and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say that you are my sister, so that it may go well with me because of you, and that I may live on account of you." Now, God had promised him a descendant. This is his wife. Now watch and see how imperfect Abraham's faith was. But I want to tell you this one thing, that the nation of Israel, because of Abraham and his promise, the nation of Israel shall be blessed, and God shall use Israel in his economy someday again because of the Abrahamic promise. And it came about when Abram came into Egypt, and the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful, and Pharaoh's officials saw her and praised her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And therefore he treated Abraham well. A used wife salesman is what he was. for her sake, and gave him sheep and oxen and donkeys and mule and female servants and female donkeys and camels. And not only that, he gave him his daughter to wed. The daughter was Hagar. That was a political marriage. Watch what Abraham does now. But the Lord struck Pharaoh and his house with a great plague because of Sarah, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abraham and said, "What is this that you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she is your wife? Why did you say that she is my sister so that I took her for my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go. Leave." And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they escorted him. They made sure he left. Abraham's in perfect faith with his wife and all that belonged to him, including Pharaoh's daughter, Hagar. Pharaoh's daughter, Hagar, was by a concubine. So Abraham went up from Egypt to the Negev, and his wife and all that had belonged to him, and Lot with him. Abraham had become very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journey from Negev as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai. To the place of the altar which he had made there formerly. And Abraham called on the name of the Lord. And now Lot went with Abraham and his flocks and herds with him. Then it says here from verses 6 all the way down to verse number basically 12. It says that the land could not sustain Lot and Abraham's livestock. And their herdsmen quarrel, and then Abraham now, in a little more perfect way, says, "Lot, you look to the right, to the left, north, south, whichever way you want to go. And you just choose the land where you want to live. And wherever you don't want to live, that's where I'll live." And so Lot looked down to Sodom, down by Jericho in that area, a little bit further from Jericho, down toward the Dead Sea, what would become the Dead Sea. And it was a beautiful place of palm trees and orchards and dates and all of that. And Lot said, "I want that. Give me that." And he went down there. And he got hooked up with some real, real bad people. If you go to the 16th chapter of the book of Jasher, you can learn historically about some of this. In chapter number 14, we have the War of the Kings, and we have Abraham going and rescuing the kings, the five kings of those cities down there, including Sodom. And then we have the people that he rescued. We find out later on God's going to destroy them because they were so wicked. But he rescued them because of Lot. In the 15th chapter of the book of Genesis, God promises Abraham a son. And Eliezer of Damascus is his head servant. According to the book of Jasher, Abraham had a 318-man army. Great soldiers and generals under him. Now, God talked to Abraham and said, "I do not fear, Abraham, I'm a shield to you, and your reward shall be very great." Abraham said, "O Lord God, what will you then give me since I am childless?" and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, you haven't given me any offspring. Behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this man will not inherit your or be your heir. But one shall come forth from your own body, and he shall be your heir. And he took him outside, and he looked toward the heavens, and he said, count the stars if you're able to. And he said, look up there. Your descendants are going to be like the stars of heaven. Then he believed in the Lord, and he reckoned him to as righteousness. Now he still got problems. Sarah and Hagar. Sarah believes that it's Abraham's fault that they don't have any children. And so she's going to test and make a test to see if Abraham is sterile or she is. So now the slave that Abraham gave to her, Hagar, which was the princess of Egypt that was Pharaoh's daughter, he said, well, now look here. See Hagar, she's a young, fertile woman that was given to you as a bride, and you gave to me as a slave. I want you to cohabit with her, and I'm going to prove to you that it's your fault, not mine. But she says to him that, I think God has struck me. And when Abraham takes Hagar as his wife, she immediately becomes pregnant. And Sarah, the contentious woman, is real mad. Now in the 17th chapter, Abraham is 99 years old. And God gives him a sign of that covenant. And the sign of that covenant is circumcision. Now, he has a boy, Ishmael. Now, Hagar had a son, Ishmael. And Ishmael means God hears. Because she was distressed because of Sarah's contentiousness. And Jehovah told Hagar, just go back and just mind your own business, and you're going to have a son, and you're going to call his name Ishmael. God hears. I heard you. God dealt with that lonely woman. In the 17th chapter, Abraham was 99 years old, and the Lord appointed to Abraham and said to him, I am God Almighty. I am El Shaddai. I am Elohim El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will establish a covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceeding. And Abraham fell on his face and talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but Abraham. He has that fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, hey. Five is the number of grace. And I will make you the father of multitude of nations, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come forth from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants, and throughout your generations, for an everlasting covenant. This is the Abrahamic covenant. This is why God is going to bring Israel back into covenant relationship with him, because of Abraham. If you don't get that down, you're not going to get very far. For an everlasting covenant, that's olam, for a forever covenant. To be a God to you and to your descendants after you, and I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land of your pilgriming, and all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. This is going to happen, people. This is God's promise. It is irrevocable, this promise. And God said for Abraham, now as for you, you shall keep my covenant, and you and your descendants, and after you throughout your generations, you're going to do this circumcision thing. This is my covenant which I shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you, and every male among you shall be circumcised. That means cut around. You shall be circumcised in the flesh and your foreskin, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between you, me and you. Every male among you who is 8 days old shall be circumcised throughout your generations. A servant who is born in the house or who is bought with money from your as a pilgrim who is not your descendants, a servant who is born in your house and who is brought with your money shall surely be circumcised. Thus shall my covenant be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And I will bless you as for Sarah your wife. You shall not call her name Sarai anymore, but you shall call her Sarah. Another H. By grace are we saved. By grace we are a work of grace always. Abraham was a work of grace. And I will bless her, and indeed you will give you a son by her, and then I will bless her, and she shall be the mother of nations. Kings and people shall come from her. And Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? Listen, later on there's going to be a woman even older than this going to bear a child. And that's Jochebed. Moses' mother was 128 years old when she had him. And she's not only his mother, but his aunt. And Abraham said, go, that Ishmael might live before you. Abraham wanted to go the wrong way, but God said, no, but Sarah your wife shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Itchik, pleasure, laughter. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. This is an irrevocable covenant. This is what we call a non-conditional covenant. Not a conditional covenant, but a non-conditional covenant. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I will bless him and make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall become the father of 12 princes. And I will make him a great nation. Now let's go a little further. The birth of Isaac is promised. God named him. Now the Lord appeared him at the oaks of Mamre. Now I'm taking a lot of time with this because I want you to see this foundation. It's very important. And he was sitting at the tent door in the heat of the day in the shade, hoping for a breeze to come by. And he went, lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, 3 men standing opposite him. And when he saw them, he ran to the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth. And he said, my Lord, if now I found favor in your sight, please do not pass your servant by. Please take a little water and be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a piece of bread that you may refresh yourselves. After you may go on, since you have visited your servant. And they said, so do as you have said. Now, he got a hold of his wife. Here we have Jehovah himself with 2 witnesses, which are angels, to establish this covenant by witnesses. What, 2 or 3 witnesses to let everything be established. And now Abraham makes some bread. He kills a choice tender calf, and he takes camel yogurt and he prepares it and sets it before them under the tree as they ate. And they said to him, where is your wife, Sarah? And he said, behold, in the tent. I will surely return to you at this time next year, and behold, Sarah your wife shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him, and Abraham and Sarah were great advanced in age. They were geriatric. And Sarah was past childbearing, and Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I have become old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old to all soul. And the Lord said to Abraham, why does Sarah laugh? She shall indeed bear a son when I am so old. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you. At the time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. And Sarah denied it, however, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. Now she had a kid. That child was Isaac, and God circumcised, or Abraham circumcised him. We find out that Sodom was condemned, and yet God took Lot out of Sodom. Sometimes God rescues us out of some of the horrible situations. We're in the middle of something so bad, and God rescues us out of it. Now, I said all of those things to say to you that the Abrahamic covenant is an eternal covenant. God will bring it about, regardless of his descendants. And also, in the last chapter of the book of Genesis, let's go there for a moment, the last chapter of the book of Genesis. And we're going to see something. Actually, in the 49th chapter. Isaac has been born. Isaac has two sons, Jacob and Esau. Jacob, or Esau, is the oldest. God rejects him. And Jacob is the son. Now, Jacob has 12 sons. And they're imperfect boys. If you read this chapter right here, you'll see how imperfect these boys are. But we're going to look at Judah for a while. Now, Judah is another imperfect work of grace. He curses Simeon and Levi becomes the priests. Yet they're cursed. They will not have any land. That was part of the curse. Jacob curses them because of their wickedness and their anger when they slew all the people of Shechem. He said, cursed is your anger and cruel. I will disperse them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Verse number 8 now, here is something different. This is the what will become the Davidic covenant. Judah, your brother shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's son shall bow down to you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He couches, he lies down like a lion. And as a lion, who dares to rouse him up? The lion of the tribe of Judah. Now this is Jesus here that we're talking about. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff between his feet, until Shiloh comes, until the Lord comes. And to him shall be the obedience of the peoples. He ties his foal to the vine, and his donkey's colt to the choice vine. He washes his garments in wine, blood red wine, Revelation the 19th chapter. His robes in blood of grapes. His eyes are what we might say, it says dull here. It means dark. Dark from wine. And his teeth white from milk. This is the Davidic and the covenant that Jesus is coming Now let's go back to the page number 10. The writer here says that you must properly place Israel if you want to understand the Word of God. Israel is very important in the Bible. From the call of Abraham to the Exodus, from the call of Abraham here, now, his responsibility was to dwell in Canaan. No, he would dwell in Egypt. And because of that, his children will be in the Egyptian bondage for 400 years, but they'll come out wealthy like he did. And now we'll have the law of Moses. Moshe will take them out of the land of Egypt, Mitzrayim, the land of red mud and canal banks, irrigated land, what it means. And he told Israel to dwell, to keep the law, and to keep all the law and to dwell in the land. Their failure was, as they rejected Christ. They rejected Christ. Now, by the way, even before that, we're going to see them carried off in captivity because of their sins. But God keeps bringing them back because of that Abrahamic covenant and that Davidic covenant that isn't even in effect because David wasn't born yet. But he would be. We have Isaac. We have Jacob. We have Joseph down there preparing a place for his father and his brothers. We have the Exodus that goes on to the death of Joshua and fully established in the land. And then we have the judges. Then we have the kings. Then we have the captivities. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Obadiah, Esther, Ezra, Nehemiah. Israel is carried off because of their sin. But the promise is true. They shall be in that land. The times of the Gentiles when they reject God. Now the land of Palestine is under control of the Gentiles. The period of time during which Jerusalem is politically under Gentile supremacy, Luke 21:24, the book of Daniel. And then we have the first advent of Jesus Christ. Malachi tells us that there's going to be a prophet coming. He's going to preach. And he's going to be level out the land. For the king is on his way. In Galatians 4 and verse 4, it said, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem those that were under that law. In the second chapter of the book of Acts, Peter is preaching to those Jewish reprobates. And he tells them, you crucified the Lord of glory. You crucified the Lord of glory. And some of them were stabbed down in their hearts, it says. And they said, what must we do? And he said, believe, repent, and believe. And be baptized. Become a Gentile. Lay that Israelitism back aside. Lay it aside. The book of Galatians, the book of Ephesians, the book of Hebrews is all written. Leave it alone. It was a sign until the fullness of time had come when God sent forth his son. The ministry of Christ covers his birth, his life, his messianic credentials, his miracles, his death, burial, and resurrection. That is the good news. Have you believed the good news yet? Have you believed the good news yet? Have you accepted Christ as your payment for your guilt and your sins? Have you? Have you asked the Lord to save your soul and forgive you of your sins? There's a time in your life when you did that. When you came to the Lord and said, Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. Please grant me repentance. Help me to follow you. I want Jesus to be the king on the throne of my life. Have you done that? Our Heavenly Father, we send this message out for your honor, for your glory. And it is a gospel message. And it's a message of great promise and eternal salvation and unconditional covenants. Father, please forgive me where I failed you. And use your word. And I pray for my students who've given me the faithful ones, so faithful. I don't even know all of them, Father. Now and then one shows up. And I am so thankful. Touch every one of them's heart. Thank you for them.